What are you, to the people who are now looking to you for some sort of relief, if should you be elected, mm-hmm. is there something you're going to do to the quote-unquote pension reform of 2011?
Well, one of the things I am considering is on the COLA, because I have heard a lot of the stories where many of them haven't gotten a COLA, and especially some of the older individuals that are really on that fixed income. And, you know, I would consider, if the fund is healthy, investments are doing well, giving a COLA depending on the investment returns. If it's doing really well, you know, give back that COLA on a certain time frame.
There is a time frame. This is my understanding,
right.
And you may know better than I do, but every 4 years under the settlement, yeah. they get a COLA, but it's a COLA,
but
again, based on some sort of returns, and
that's
right,
the but
calculation.
It's also, it's not their regular COLA from what I understand. I thought it was just like a flat amount. You see, I'm not nuanced on all of it. That's why I'm saying that I am open to it based on upon the returns and going forward.
So giving more frequent COLAs, would
correct.
That be a fair way?
Yes.
And
obviously a lot depends on those returns.
Okay.
You know, I'm open to, you know, doing more because I hear their stories. I'm certainly not in the camp of Matt Brown undoing all those reforms because I think that's reckless. But, you know, I am very sympathetic to what a lot of the retirees are going through.
You even questioning whether it was necessary, as Matt Brown is, whether it was even necessary in 2011, are you in that camp?
No, I think there had to be some type of at least reforms that need to be done to the system because, you know, it was going through those, you know, investment swings that we were seeing at that time. And, you know, I think some type of reform was needed to kind of help put that system back in balance, but not to the degree of what we're seeing right now where, unfortunately, a lot of those dollars went out the back door through those costly fees. That's where I have a problem, you know, because we see, obviously, the governor with her inroads to Wall Street, to all these, you know, big corporate partners all across the country that who knows what their interest is in, you know, in this state. You know, that is problematic to me.
But you have an economics program, which is you want to reduce the sales tax
yes.
to 5%. And if I'm remembering right, the last campaign, you were also going to reduce the corporate tax. And I didn't see that in the current one. So talk me through that.
One of the things that I'm being a lot more realistic because there have been some reductions in the Vermont General Assembly, especially, you know, the phase out of the car tax, which is something I also support. But I also want to be realistic in how I'm going to be responsibly kickstarting, you know, the economy. And I recognize that sales tax is one of those levers that can help keep some of the dollars here in our economy instead of going to the borders because I think it's the right time to do it because I've heard Charlie Baker up in Mass talking about dropping it to 5. I want to send a message to Rhode Islanders with that phased in, you know, but try to do it in a responsible way over the course of the first 4 years, 0.5% each year, that we're serious about it. We want to support a lot of local businesses, and I'm sick and tired of seeing some of that revenue just kind of go up to Mass or even to Connecticut and not keep it in our local economy. So that's the first part of that plan. Yeah, the second part was the fee that my so-called, and I joke around with this, my low fee guarantee, where a lot of the professional fees that many of the business owners pay, whether it's in permitting type fees or professional fees, are significantly higher than some of our neighboring communities. You know, auto body repair permit license. $450 across the border, $900 here. Dental licensing, $900, $300, you know, up in New Hampshire. So it's little things like that. I want our state to have, like, a reputation for the lowest fees in New England. My strategy is keeping us as the center of New England, a leader in New England, because, you know, like what we saw with the Paw Sox, we're never going to compete dollar for dollar with Massachusetts, because they're bigger, they have more to offer, but if we can create a better reputation from a tax structure, and that's why I'm focusing more on the sales tax, then the corporate. Corporate's important, but we've also had some tweaks already to it.
So that's not your focus, right?
Not my focus this time.
Do you know how much it would cost to take us from 7 to 5?
Approximately $200 million per, I think, half. Is it half?
It's 280 total. if you use last year's numbers, it was $70 million a year.
Yeah. About $70 million a year.
Yeah.
Incrementally,
$70 million. If you went, also it was 2.8, I thought it was 2. Okay.
So if you dropped it half percentage.
Yeah, about 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Went down. Yeah. And how would you pay for that?
No, combination of, well, the there's going to be some natural revenue increase with the dollar staying here. Mm-hmm. You can't tell how much, but you can't treat it as a static, you know, $70 million too.
Okay.
My cuts that I looked at, obviously some of the personnel costs that the governor's added into our budget, I would, you know, eliminate these some of those middle management six-figure positions that she's added, or, no offense, some of the press positions that she's added too.
No offense.
So some of those positions I don't see as necessary. Also, I want to shake up what's going on at Commerce RI. I wouldn't be, and like even on some of the credits that are given out there, I dramatically reform them, because I think I've even talked to you about that. I'm not in favor of some of the Rebuild RI credits that are going into millions into just a few construction jobs on a temporary basis. You know, I feel that if credit, you know, my strategy on credits would be a little bit different. I would rather take a lot of those dollars and invest it in tax cuts so that everyone here can benefit.
Obviously, this is something Raimondo is really proud of, you know, and that program and the business.
The rebuild?
Rebuild. So if you were going to say, which ones would you not have given? I understand you'd reconstruct.
Like Providence. I think Projo did a pretty detailed article a few months back on all the rebuild art in a lot of those apartments that went into Providence. That's frustrating to me because, you know, first of all, the problem that we have as a city, as a state, you know, in Providence right now is the tax burden. And why keep playing that game of giving tax incentives when it should be a focus on reducing the overall tax burden so you don't pick one person as a winner over, you know, everyone else? And that's where, when you take a look at our overall landscape, that's where the economy is at, dramatically now, the small to medium-sized businesses.
I mean, you had some positions which from story to story to story stayed the same, and then some of them changed.
Yes.
I want to touch on some
of
those. Let me start with the very basic one, which is abortion.
Yep.
And you were described yourself everywhere as pro-choice, except, you know, not late-term abortions, but you were the pro-choice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time you said declined to answer, if you respect a woman's right to choose, then isn't that pro-choice?
With common sense restrictions.
And the actual restrictions would be?
Don't subscribe to late-term abortions.
Okay.
You know, making sure we, you know, have parental notifications for minors, making sure that there's an abortion-free option on the exchange.
I thought at one point or another, you know, as a councilman, you were in favor of something that basically banned assault weapons. You may have even proposed it, if I'm remembering what I read last night correctly. Ask the same question today. Are you in favor of banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines?
No, I don't support a complete ban. I am a, you know, Second Amendment supporter. I shoot recreationally. You know, I shoot skeet, trap. I respect, you know, the rights of law-abiding citizens to, you know, own a firearm. The problem that I do see is a lot of the individuals that are criminals, people with serious mental health issues, you know, are a different story. But you already have a lot of laws on the books in Rhode Island that really need to be enforced to crack down on any individuals already.